The U.S. Supreme Court dove back into the culture wars full steam today. It agreed to hear two cases in the fall that test state laws banning transgender women and girls from participating in sports at publicly funded institutions. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg joins us now. Hi, Nina.
Hi there.
So how widespread are these state bans?
Something like 27 states have enacted these laws, with supporters saying they're needed to ensure fairness in athletic competition and to prevent trans athletes whose sex at birth was male from having an unfair advantage. Opponents of the laws say they discriminate based on sex and thus that they violate both the Constitution's guarantee to equal protection of the law and Title IX, the federal law enacted in 1972 that mandates equal treatment in all athletic programs receiving federal funds. Mm-hmm. So that covers just about every public school in the country from first grade through college.
Right. Okay. And tell us why this has become such an important issue recently.
Transgender participation in women's sports, though extremely rare, has become the newest flashpoint in the modern culture wars, especially after the Trump presidential campaign last year made transgender participation in many walks of life a huge issue. Upon his taking office this year, Trump immediately delivered, issuing executive orders to ban transgender women and girls from sports, in addition to ordering all trans individuals out of the military and requiring trans individuals getting a passport to list their sex at birth, not their transgender.
Well, how many transgender women and girls are currently playing sports at all levels? Do we know?
Very few. At least the NCAA chair, Charlie Baker, told a Senate panel last year that the number is fewer than 10.
Huh.
It's rare and often uneventful, especially with younger children and even older ones who play club sports. And remember that the number of transgender people in the general population is under 1%. But when it gets to big-time competition in the NCAA and the Olympics, mm-hmm. it gets a lot more complicated. In fact, one of the briefs filed in this case is signed by 102 female athletes and family members who side with the states in these cases, saying it's just not fair to have a person born as a boy with greater strength and speed competing against a woman or girl. And it's interesting to see who some of the people are on that brief, including members of the LGBTQ community like former tennis star Martina Navratilova and female Olympics champions. And late last year, several big-time collegiate women's volleyball teams actually forfeited matches against San Jose State, refusing to play them because one of their players was a transgender woman.
Right. Well, what are the NCAA rules on all of this?
Well, all the big sports associations, including the NCAA, the U.S. Soccer Federation, the Olympic Committee, they all allowed most trans athletes to compete, though they often required proof that the athletes were taking hormones or puberty blockers. And trans athletes almost never prevailed or dominated until a few aced out young women who otherwise would have won medals. Of course, that's changed since the Trump executive order.
And real quick, Nina, I mean, during this past term at the Supreme Court, the justices upheld state laws that ban gender-affirming care for transgender minors. Given that, what do you think the prospects are for this case in the next term?
I would say that the hints from the opinions in that case are pretty strong in favor of the states banning transgender athletes.
That is NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you.